first and last, follow each other. This is a very important thing to understand. But even if you understand it, for most people, it doesn't change a thing. Because we remain in that reaction, self-preservation. We spend our whole life trying to build a self, trying to make a self whatever it is that we need to believe in that is us. Who are you? Who are you? What are your origins? Where did you begin? Where did you end? You begin in the necessities of your fears, worrying constantly. Will I be able to survive? Am I enough? These are the things that we worry about. Can I survive? We want other people to admire us. We want to be respected. All these things we waste our life on. And they can't be changed in a person. I'm reminded of the story. Two little girls were walking and talking about their religious knowledge. The first one said, I'm past original sin, you know. And the second little girl said, well, that's nothing. I'm beyond redemption. This is the way our mind works. Always trying to up ourselves, make ourselves more important than our reality would allow us to understand. The problem with an authentic spiritual practice is that it requires humility. It is not there to solve the problem of a person's life, their basic temperament. It is not there to do any of that. You see, it all began for me in a place that I don't know if anybody, as far as my students are concerned, could ever appreciate. My students never ask me the pertinent questions, the important ones. They never do because they don't have them within themselves. They're not capable of understanding anything past their intellect and their emotionality. And that is where they stay. They are beyond redemption. And they are living in the original sin of themselves, which is to assume that the human is the temperament and the texture, the ebb and the flow of a person's life, and that they can do nothing more. This is the way we are. This is the way we live. And I am not in a position as the teacher, nor is any teacher in that position, to change any of this. There are too many nuances and things inside of us that come to rescue us from the truth, from love, rescue us from it, so we can go back to our sullen ways of believing and thinking and living in the confines of our heredity. We don't mature, and we are not interested in it. For me, this whole thing of where I am, how I got here, what this earthly life was about, was something that tormented me when I was a little boy. I would go to Sunday school and never get the answers I wanted. When I asked these questions, I was told I was being disruptive. I even took it to the old minister I'll never forget him. He didn't have any answers either. What I wanted to know is, what are we doing here? How did I find myself in this kind of world? What the hell happened? That was my attitude. None of my other friends had this. They didn't think they were going to die. They didn't think that they were ever going to age. They were ever going to find problems. They liked to play army, killing each other, pretending to. I never understood. I could never do that. My mother, my own mother, sent me to military school to try to control me, but that didn't work either. I just became a constant annoyance. That red-headed kid over there, what a problem he was. It was very difficult, but I had to find out what to do. What was I here for? I saw that society, when Jack Kennedy got killed, that society was ill. You couldn't trust it. That we are in the hands of a government that is basically corrupt and has been for many, many decades. Since the earth began, people of power, people who were insecure, wanted to control their own destiny through the means of cruelty. After all, it's just business, isn't it? Let me give you a little simple story from one of my very favorite Zen masters, Fuze. I love him. I wish I had known him. He lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So one of his students, Chao, came to him, and he was annoyed, as all students are annoyed with a great teacher. "Why do you always urge us so intensely, all the time?" He was very cross with his temper, especially with Fuze, because he was a great teacher. And great teachers bestow oftentimes deep inner truths, principles that are beyond the concepts that a person has gathered within themselves as the means for living, self-preservation. The student said, "We have so many practical responsibilities to deal with, and we will have them for the rest of our lives. Where do you think we're going to have time for wisdom and the teachings of immortality when we have all these things to do?" Fuze was a very wise man. He said, "Very well. For today, I will ask you a practical task, not a spiritual one. Please go and plant the garden." The student answered, "I shall begin that task willingly, but I cannot complete it today. It is too late, and soon it will be night." Fuze said, "But if you had worked at it earlier, you could have finished it before darkness falls." You see, there is a time when it's too late for me. I work very diligently on myself. I don't want that moment to come where I become crippled by my urgency to survive. It's very difficult, even now after all the years. It is never an easy practice. Please understand that. If you think that there will come a time when it is not difficult, you are wrong. It will always be difficult. because we're beyond redemption. We can't change. We won't change. We have put ourselves in the hands of those who we would like to be like. A king. We would like to be like someone who has power over everything to make everything right. And we decide that right and what it is a moral standard for all. Where do we get our moral standards? Where do we get this idea of being moral and that we understand what is moral? Should we even be concerned about that? It's a slippery slope. The only moral worth living for is that the good I want for myself, I would want for everyone. No matter. This would lead me to a generosity that would be very dangerous for my ego to understand. This would lead me into something very, very difficult. But if I follow this, I go beyond the influence of my judgments, my human judgments, I would find mercy, not only for others, but more importantly, for my own stupidity. I would have a mercy for it. I would understand it. I would realize to be a sentient being is to be capable. Capable of what? Of planting the garden before darkness falls. To do the difficult before it becomes impossible. And I have seen this in not only people that I work with as students, in my hospice work especially, but I see it in myself. I don't want that moment to happen where the difficult has become impossible. And that's what Lao Tzu is talking about. The first and last follow each other. We live in a cycle, repetitive cycle, where the first instinct is to survive. And we do all these terrible things in order to do it. Terrible to ourselves. We're looking for that profit that will allow us just to eat, drink, and be merry. But what it takes for us to come to that place where we can eat, drink, and be merry makes it impossible for me to awaken. To go beyond my emotionality, my pride, my vanity. The reason we are not aware is because we are so busy refusing what is real, what is true. We miss the whole effort of living. Therefore, as he says, what is and what is not create each other. We are in that principle, that cycle. What is capable of me? What is capable of my capacities? Oh, only hate and fear. They create difficulties. What is and what is not create each other? There is a void in us. There is something that is totally missing. And it isn't missing because it isn't there. It's missing because I won't see it. I won't recognize it. My survival as a human being, as an egotistical human being, is more important to me than is the humility that would bring love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, as Jesus talked about, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Humility, modesty, learning to live in the root of tone and texture, hearing that voice within me, and instead of ignoring it, I listen to it all the time. It is a constant, and it is constantly changing, removing me from the three poisons that the Buddha taught: greed, anger, and ignorance. Willful ignorance, I might add. Very few people are much interested in this. In this age of the Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to reach people, especially those who were born for the sake of the Kali Yuga and by the Kali Yuga, to come into this world and create the havoc, the misperceptions of love and life. This is why Lhotse said, difficult and easy complement each other, tall and short shape each other, high and low rest on each other. Voice and tone blend with each other. First and last follow each other. The sage acts by doing without doing, teaches without speaking. Very few people can understand the sentient being of this. Attends to all things without claiming them. Works for them without making them dependent. Demands no honor for his deeds because he demands no honor. He will never be dishonored. This is not the way we think. We want to hear how great thou art all the time in our heads. We miss. My dear friend, whomever you are, if your life isn't what you thought it would be, if it is not ending as you had hoped it would end, it is not because you're being punished. It is because you're not listening to the tone, the voice of the tone in you. Instead of listening to words, you must understand this whole universe operates out of tone. If you listen to the tones, I make ambient tones for my students. They don't even listen to them. They never listen to them. I teach them how to listen to them, but they can't. The difficult has become impossible. And they miss. It is sad to say they miss. They couldn't have a teacher who loved them more. But I can only do what they will allow. Don't challenge the way. Don't make things difficult. Do the difficult before it becomes impossible. Let love live you. I want to meditate with you. Lhotse in the Tao. This is a beautiful teaching. It is a mystery. If you meet it, you cannot see its face. If you follow it, You cannot see its back, yet it exists beyond your perception. Thank you.